are living in the fifth dimensional consciousness, where we are creating our reality faster than we can imagine. And 95% of our lives are run and created by our subconscious programming. Imagine how your life will be when that 95% subconscious programming is set to attract, manifest, and create everything you desire. Would you like help to change yours? Join Tamara Oviatt in Living in Fifth Dimensional Consciousness here on OM Times every week, where she will connect to the source energy and change your subconscious programming by deleting your negative belief systems. Tamara is the founder of Sacred Activations, a subconscious metaprogramming process that rewires your brain and shifts hundreds of your belief systems so you can break away from lack, pain, and suffering and take control of what you want to create in your life. Tamara has helped hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, and she is here to help you too. It's not about fighting what you don't want. It's about creating what you do want. And the only way to do that is to change and upgrade your subconscious programming. Let Tamara help you create magic in your world. Join her now for Living in the Fifth Dimensional Consciousness.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. I want to invite you in this week to a very special guest, Royce. Royce, I've met Royce over 25 years ago, I think. Oh. And she helped me so much. I was going through divorce. I had two young children. And we went and did counseling with her to communicate with my sons, to be able to have proper communication with them, also with my ex-husband. As a matter of fact, I found out about Royce through my ex-husband because he was doing her programs. And I saw how much he shifted on how he was treating our children. So I went, okay, I need some of this. And then I started doing Royce's events and going away for the weekend with her and a group of people. And it continued to transform my life majorly. So, wow. I mean, there was this, I'm not going to go into all the different experiences I had with Royce. I will through the call, but she's absolutely magical. She is a trailblazer. She created all this over four decades ago, helping people shift so they're not in buttons and traumatized and they're able to communicate clearly and to get out of that fear-based consciousness and to be present. Royce, I'm sorry I totally blew over your bio and just talked about you, how I know you. I hope that's okay with you.
That's okay. Yeah, I can't believe it's been 25 years. Wow.
I think it has because Kendall's turning 28 and I was separating at a year and a half. So maybe 24.
Okay, that's much better.
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Royce, you're just really incredible. So when I started this show, it's like, man, I have to have Royce on because you helped me so much. And I know so many other people that you have assisted. I mean, you were at the beginning of my opening spiritually. So I just want to say one thing. We're going to talk to Royce for about 40 minutes. And then the last 10 minutes of the show, I will be running some activations. So I wanted to let you guys know that, hang out and finish the show. And then I'll be doing some activations at the very end for you. And right now we're just going to connect with Royce and talk about mirroring. And mirroring is huge and amazing. I mean, I could talk the whole hour, not even let you talk about all the amazing things you've done. Wow. And how you helped me in my life, seriously. So hi, Royce. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. And that's my favorite topic to talk about, mirroring. Yes, thank you.
So let's talk about mirroring. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, first of all, I have to say that mirroring is probably the hardest thing that I teach. Nobody ever likes it.
Yeah.
Everybody says, ew. You know, but basically, just in a nutshell, and I do talk about mirroring like all the time, but in a nutshell, mirroring is showing us some part of ourselves that we've suppressed and denied and we don't want to look at. It's like waking up in the morning and going, my hair is a mess and I don't want to look at myself. And it has that kind of a feel to it. It's about taking responsibility. And I don't mean to get dramatic about it, but I think that mirroring, if people understood this concept, there would be no war, there would be no violence, there'd be no craziness in the world, because everybody would just go, I wonder what that situation is mirroring to me. What is it showing me about myself? So I compare mirrors to like a seesaw. I don't know if everybody has seen a seesaw, but a seesaw is like this. And if you push one side of the seesaw down, the other side comes up. It has to. It's the law of physics, I guess. So the same thing with mirroring. If we have pushed something down in ourselves, it energetically has to come up somewhere in our universe, somewhere in our life. So if I'm pushing down my anger, which I used to do real well, it's going to come up somewhere. I'm going to, you know, people are going to be cutting me off on the freeway. My husband is going to be punching holes in the wall or whatever it is that happens, because it's reflecting what I have pushed down by coming up as the other side. So that's the real basics of mirroring. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And the first thing that I thought of with mirroring is, if you're not looking at something, it comes up in your body too, to show you in different ways and sicknesses.
Yes, it comes up everywhere. You know, we all have our own ways of having it come up. It could be strangers. It could be our spouses. It could be our kids. It could be, you know, our messy houses. It could be anything. So, and the way that we can tell, it's a pretty simple way of telling, which again, nobody likes, is that if our buttons get pushed, if we're having a negative reaction, an emotional reaction to something, it is always a mirror of something for us. Always. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It's always showing us something about ourselves. And the deeper the denial, the bigger it is in our face until we get it. And it, you know, it's kind of like our higher consciousness wants us to get it so badly that it, you know, shows up in a bigger and bigger way. So it can start out small, but if we don't get it, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and more magnified. You know, so that's the basics about mirrors.
Yeah, I recently got married, and before I did, I said something negative that I believe in, but my husband doesn't. And I commented on it, and he got really mad at me, and he's all, "Why are you pushing my buttons?" He got really mad at me. And you know what it was? It was like, before we got married, I needed to know that he had that strength in him, because we had been getting along so good and so amazing. I needed to see that strong, powerful Michael, you know? And after it happened, I kind of laughed about it. I let him, you know, get through his anger over it, but I just said, "I'm not mad at you." And he goes, "I'm not mad at you either." And I said, "Okay, good. Let's move on," you know? And I thought about it later. It's like, why did I have to do that? And I think I needed to see that strength in him. You know, does that make sense?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And of course, if it pushed a button in you, then it was something that it was a mirror for you to look at as well. So yeah. Yeah, we have these mutual mirrors that go on, especially with people that we're close with. We kind of have this spiritual agreement that says, okay, well, you push this button so I can get it, and I'll push this button so you can get it. And we do this little mirror dance together.
Yeah. And I didn't get mad at him during it. And he kind of got really angry at me. And you know, talked about pushing his buttons, and I kind of laughed inside. And yeah, I needed that. I don't know why I needed that, but I needed to see that strength in him of his strong boundaries, because he has super strong boundaries, you know, which I really appreciate. And I think I rely on, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I find that sometimes there's so many examples I can give about mirrors, and I don't mean to say this in a personal way at all, because I never try to figure out people's mirrors for them. It never works. But I find that sometimes if we believe that we're missing a particular piece, you know, if I believe I'm missing my own compassion or my own strength or my own ability to be strong, I will attract people that show that to me. And when they do, it pushes my button. So, you know, that's another way that mirrors work. There's so many different ways that mirrors work. Mirrors can work by people withholding from us. So, you know, I can say I really want this and I can't get it. And that's a mirror of me withholding something from myself. So, you know, I could just list off 1,000 different examples like that. But, you know, people people state things to us and push our buttons. It's like, why are you saying that to me? Well, you're showing me a mirror of something that I am stating to myself that I don't want to admit to. So, I had a memory just popped up of something that happened to me about that. I was at a seminar way before I was teaching, and we were supposed to be sharing with the person that was sitting next to us. And the assignment was to be completely honest with each other. And this guy looked at me and he goes, "You're fat." And I went, and it just pushed every button in the world, because it was like, I'm always trying to lose weight in those days. And so finally, you know, I looked at it and went, okay, well, he's just stating to me my worst fear, you know, that people are seeing that I believe I'm fat. So it's that kind of stuff. So people state it to us, they withhold from us, they act a certain way around us. And we can have magnification mirrors. I think maybe what's going on in the world around us is that we all need to get certain things, and it's just being magnified in our faces until we get it. I know the title of your show is so appropriate for that, because we are transforming, we're transitioning to something so much more enlightened and aware and love-based. But in order to get there, we've got to get to the core. We've got to dig out that stuff that's getting in the way, so we're not just pretending to be spiritual and enlightened. So I think that's why all of that stuff is so magnified right now on the planet.
Oh, I totally agree. And I absolutely love what you just said, pretending to be spiritual.
Yes.
Because there's so many people out there pretending to be spiritual.
Oh, yeah. I call that the Joe spiritual syndrome. Yes. Yeah, it's sad. I mean, it's kind of a step. I've been there. You know, I pretended to be spiritual for a long time. But I think the universe, you know, hits you in the face, and it's not going to let you do that for too long, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because I can see through people very well. Most people, I can see through them. And I see these people just so in their egos and thinking they're so cool, but yet they're pretending.
Yes.
And it's a lot of our major teachers out there that are teaching.
Yes.
And it blows me away.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I mean, I went into hiding because I went, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you say? So people are pretending to be spiritual. People are pretending to be enlightened, but yet they're just caught up in all these subconscious or collective consciousness belief systems. What do you say to people to help them recognize that and they can process through it?
Well, a lot of it comes down to just trusting themselves. I think all of us on some level can tell if something isn't authentic. We know when we're not authentic, but it's hard to tell because we're so caught up in that lie, and we're so caught up in covering over all of our authenticity. And I think there's a part of us that really wants to believe and wants to think that people are true and authentic. But I think eventually it's all going to come out in the wash, you know? So, you know,
I think it has to. I think that's part of the process coming into that world of love,
you know,
is all that stuff has to come up. And I know that's what's going on in the world right now.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know we're going through a major process in the world because we are all connected and we are all bringing our stuff up to be healed so that we can be in that perfect love or perfect life awakening. So how do we help people on their process to do that?
Well, not to plug myself, but I do offer courses. Perfect Life Awakening is my spiritually based inner processing work that I do. And I work with people individually and I work with groups. It's all done remotely now. Yay, internet. But I think that, you know, what I give people and what I know you give people is a big shovel to do some deep digging so that it isn't superficial and it isn't just learning new spiritual acts. You know, that's what I do with people. And I think being an example of that, I think, is important too, being the truth of that in your life. You know, just the fact that you just shared something very intimately about you and your husband, I think, is beautiful because that shows that you're being real. You know, I always myself as examples when I teach, because, you know, it's not easy stuff. It really isn't. And I think people relate when you share from your soul and when you share from your heart. I think that's so important, but it really is. It's deep work. I never claim that it isn't. And some people are just not ready to do that. Some people are. And if you are, reach out. But yeah, it's all about being authentic and being true to what you're teaching, living, walking the talk, living the truth.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't even know what their truth is because they don't go deep. They don't know themselves. Yeah. They don't look at themselves. So to tell them to be authentic and be real, they don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But to make it safe for them to do that, you know, the classes, I remember when you were taking classes, it does take a while for people to open up and to start admitting, oh yeah, that is a mirror. And oh yeah, that, that did push a button. Even people to admit that something is a button sometimes is difficult. So yeah,
that totally brings, I'm sorry, cut you off. We were doing this event and you're all the person you hate the most, you're most alike.
Yes.
I remember screaming, that's not true. That's bull.
Right. Yes.
It's really funny because referring to my mother, I mean, at the time I had a lot of resentment towards my mother. And now I'm really good friends with her and we have a really good relationship and I really enjoy her. But it took some time, you know, because of her belief systems and stuff and her traumas in her life, the way she treated me when I was growing up, I had a lot of resentment towards her.
And
I don't anymore. I now have an understanding and love for her that I never have. And I really contribute that to you and your work because that really had me start looking at these things.
Yeah. I find that on a spiritual level, we choose our parents. I know maybe your listeners don't know that concept, but everything is chosen, and especially our parents, and we choose them specifically to spur our growth and to spur our awakening. I know I chose my mom. She was my biggest mirror and the hardest one for me to admit because she was this completely judgmental person. Everything out of her mouth was a judgment about others. And that's all she did. And when I started to study spirituality, I was like, oh my God, my mom is so judgmental and I can't stand it. And then a few years later, I realized, oh my God, she's my mirror of me judging people and just covering it up and never admitting that I was judging people. So she was showing me something that I was doing subconsciously and hiding and denying. So that was a huge awakening for me. And it really resolved things with her because, you know, I no longer had that button because I realized what was going on in me and where it came from, the origins of why I needed to be judgmental and why I chose her as this person that I was going to have to spend the rest of her life with. So, yeah.
And how did your relationship get with your mother after that?
Oh, it was a million times better, because I was able to, instead of judging her for judging, which is what I was doing, which is kind of funny. I was able to just observe it. It was like, oh yeah, mom's being judgmental now and that's okay. And, you know, is it pushing a button in me? No, well, that's good. So there was so much closeness and so much of a connection that was reestablished with her. And, you know, I was with her when she got ill and passed and you know, it was just this magical experience that I had never had in, you know, 50 years. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I miss my mom. She's in California and I'm in Mexico. So yeah, I really miss her.
Yeah.
Which is really nice to say.
It's
nice to have that feeling towards her. So thank you for sharing that. I mean, and I so agree with you about the buttons. Things that upset you from other people are parts of you that you're upset about, or you're judging, or you don't like about yourself.
Yes. That's what they are, with no exception. Yeah.
And you know what, when you're talking about that, what I realized what I needed from my husband was my dad. I love my dad. He was a very nice man, but his wife walked all over him. My stepmom. And I needed Mike not to be that.
Mm.
So I just got a total breakthrough of why I pushed Mike's button, not consciously knowing that I was doing it when I did it, you know, but I needed to see that strength in him that I couldn't walk all over him, because that's definitely not somebody I need in my life, you know? So yeah, that was, thank you. See, I just got that.
Sure, anytime.
That's perfect. So what else would you like to share about buttons, you know, mirrors? I mean, is there a process we can go through with people to help them while they're here and listening to the show?
Well, the best kind of superficial level of processing buttons and mirrors is to notice your reaction. That's the first step. Notice perhaps your body feeling something. You're sitting there talking to somebody and suddenly your breathing gets a little shallow, or you feel like tension in your body somewhere. And that could show you that, oh, you're having a button get pushed. You're having some triggering going on, as everybody calls it nowadays. Emotions will show you that a button is being pushed. So having anger or jealousy or even sadness or apathy, any of those emotions could show you that some kind of a button is being pushed. And as I keep saying, if a button is pushed, there's a mirror there. So those are like right. The two superficial layers to notice about buttons. Repetitious patterns, like I was saying before, are something that seems to happen all the time. You seem to end up with the same guy all the time, or the same boss, or the same situation with your kids, or whatever it is, or your mom, whatever. That could show you that there's something to look at. And like I said, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until you really do address it. And the rest of it is really just discovering the source. And that's the work that we do in my courses. We discover the origins of where that became part of you. Where did I decide that I was judgmental? Where did I do something that set that up in my life? And, you know, that's the digging, and that's the shovel that I give people, the shovel in the mirror that I give people and that do this work. So like I said, there's superficial layers that can help. You know, it's like when I noticed that I was as judgmental as my mom, that was a really big realization, but it didn't get to the origin. To get to really resolve that situation, I had to look back and discover a specific incident in something that I did, or something somewhere back there, that would have set up me needing to be judgmental. So that's the deeper work.
Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and go on a break real quick. And then when we come back, I want to get a little bit deeper in this, and I want to share another story of an experience I had with you. And I want to talk about that a little bit.
Great.
So we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself. Invest in your brand. And then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be, by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Own Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Own Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Own Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Own Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Own Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. Do you want to go deeper into sacred activations, which is a subconscious metaprogramming process? Tamara Oviatt is inviting you to visit her website at tamaraoviatt.com to sign up and get lifetime access to free 7 activations that you can listen to anytime you want or as often as you need. If you like what Tamara does and like to incorporate sacred activations into your life, she also offers live webinars, masterclasses, and practitioners training to further support your healing, manifestations, and expansion. There are hundreds of activations on her website that address different aspects of your life: money, health, relationships, intuitive abilities, and more. Head over to her website at tamaraoviatt.com and experience the magic of sacred activations. Thank you for listening.
If I could be you, and you could be me for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's minds. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Royce. I'm so happy to have you here. You know, on break, I'm going, okay, there's all these things I want to ask her. And then there's something I want to say, which was really profound with me at one of your retreats. You did a funeral for us, and people stood around and said what they liked about you, or you know, that they were going to miss you. And when I was laying there listening to these people say these nice things about me, I was crying. You know, I just had these tears rolling out of my eyes because I guess I didn't really see myself in any of those ways. And it was really profound for me. And because I was really shut down at the time and fearful. So I want to thank you for that. And wow, it was really a gift. And it still stuck with me, you know, even now, you know, 20 something years later, that process of the funeral it was really a big deal.
Yeah. Wow. I remember that retreat. That was amazing. Yeah. And that just, it brings up something else I wanted to mention about mirrors. And that is that one of the biggest things that mirrors show us is our lack of deservingness. You know, there's a part of us that just doesn't feel deserving of love, doesn't feel deserving of success, of fame, of recognition, of attention, anything. And what gets reflected all the time from mirrors is that level, you know. And of course, mirrors can show the positive as well. So it can reflect to you how much growth you have in that area, how much you now do deserve. So everything that happens, everything that shows up is a mirror of something, especially our level of deservingness. So, yeah.
You know, that when I talked about the show, I said, no, I don't want to be processed, but really, what this was bringing up is exactly that for me is deservingness to be recognized. I mean, in 2015, I was getting really well known. I was doing a lot of shows, and I would be in a different country. I'd be in England, and somebody would scream my name out, and it would freak me out. Yeah. I was being recognized, and I would freak out. I would leave events that I was at because people recognized me. I mean, this happened in LA. You know, I was at the LA Expo, the Conscious Life Expo, and people screaming down the aisle. Well, I was at somebody else's event, recognized me, I freaked out, and I did freak out. I mean, I stopped doing shows and I just started working with my email list. And then I got where I wouldn't show up to a show. I was scheduled to be on an interview and I slept through it.
Oh God.
And of course this wasn't on purpose. So, but I've got a duality thing going that way because, like, you know, the social media is where they show your shows. You know, I'm watching, you know, hundreds of people watching. And then after the show's over, it says 53 people watch. And it's like, wait a minute, I was on live while this was running and there was hundreds watching. So then it's that no recognition and recognition kind of bubble. I'm still in a little bit and I want to get past that. So what would you say to me to help me get past that, because I really want to help people. I really want to show up. I'm not interested in being seen as a guru or, you know, somebody to be worshipped, because that's definitely not what I want or I'm interested in. And I actually judge people that do act that way. So help.
Well, it's definitely not something we can do live on air, but I'm happy to help you. I'm happy to help you discover sources of that. And who knows where that could go. It could go, you know, in this life, into past lives. I work with people to discover the origins of that lack of deservingness, which shows up as fear. Like I was saying before, we are terrified all the time. And one of our biggest fears is fear of success and fear of recognition and fear of love. You know, everybody talks about fear of losing love. Excuse me, our bigger fear is fear of having love, because that would discount how undeserving we really believe we are. And those go back to specific incidents, times when we made decisions about ourselves that state things like, I don't deserve love, or I don't deserve to be who I am. I don't deserve to manifest this amazing life that I'm seeing around me, you know, and people calling my name and it freaks me out. So some kind of a deservingness issue. And that's really the core of all of our issues. You know, it might look like, gee, I decided I was terrible when mom spanked me, but there's something that went before that, or maybe I spanked somebody and I decided that I deserve to be spanked and I don't deserve to be having this wonderful life. So yeah, that's always the core. That's always the origin. So I'm happy to work with you.
Thanks. Yeah, because I feel like I'm ready to come out now. I feel like I'm ready to show up. You know, I'm starting to do interviews again. I'm doing this, which is a big step for me. But I saw that I was having my guest on and having them do all the talking and I wasn't doing any talking. So it's like, okay, I got to switch that up, you know, and I've got to do some shows by myself because I'm doing this to help people. And so, you know, I think I'm also kind of hiding behind guests, you know, but also I've got these amazing guests that I want to introduce to the world that I think are absolutely amazing. Like you, you know, I think you're really incredible. And you helped me so much to start my path that I've been on over these years. And so it's a duality there of I really want to introduce these people, but am I also still hiding?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
let's set up some time. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're really amazing. I really do. And you're so helpful. So you guys, I mean, here I am. I'm showing you my deepest fears of what's going on with me so that maybe it's going to help you connect with some of the things that are going on for you so that you could stand out. Yeah. Yeah. So what else are we going to talk about, Rice?
Gosh, I don't know. What would you like to talk about? I mean, like I said, I could talk about mirrors forever. So
let's talk about mirrors. We have some more time. Okay. So let's talk about mirrors more.
Okay. I'm looking at my list here. I have a whole list of things that I usually talk about. This one kind of jumped out at me. So the issue of forgiveness, you know, everybody knows spiritually it's important to forgive, but if somebody won't forgive you, It's because you're not forgiving yourself in some way. I had a situation where I did something, this is a long time ago, decades ago, did something in a relationship. And my boyfriend at the time called me up and he said, I will never forgive you. I mean, that was like, you know, an arrow to my heart. And so, yeah. And I hung up the phone and I was crying for days and just, it was horrible. You know, how could somebody never forgive me? So I started to look at that and I realized that what I had done, I did not forgive myself for. And I took it deeper and I, you know, discovered all of these incidents where I was still not forgiving myself. And he was just the mirror in my face showing me how little I had forgiven myself in my life. So it's things like that. So forgiveness, gosh, all kinds of things.
So did you ever talk to him again?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I guess I should end on a positive note. Yeah, we became very dear friends. You know, we broke up our relationship, but we became very dear friends for the rest of his life. He passed recently and we were, you know, very close. But and what I realized is, you know, I thought I was going to marry this guy and I realized, I don't think I'm supposed to marry him. And he was reflecting that to me as well, you know, not by pushing a button, but by just showing me, oh, yeah, this is not it. So yes, it's kind of that mirror of negative things as well as positive things. It's like, you know, there's always that duality when mirrors show up. It's like, are they showing me something negative? And what are they showing me that's the truth that I don't want to see? Well, the truth is I'm not supposed to marry this guy. So,
right.
So let me see if there's another example I can give. Okay, here's a good one. Whatever you fear that someone will do to you, you're actually afraid that you're going to do to them. And maybe you have done it already. Maybe you have done it and you've just kind of denied it and suppressed it. So maybe you're afraid that your husband is going to cheat on you, you know, and you do all these things to make sure he doesn't cheat on you and, you know, have all these barriers in the way of making sure that, you know, that you know where he is all the time and you track his phone and all this stuff. So it's not that you're afraid that he's going to do it to you. It's you're afraid that you are going to do it to him, or maybe you have already done it to him in some way. You know, another true to life example from my own life is in my first marriage, I was terrified that my husband was going to cheat on me. You know, this comes from my own experience. And he wasn't going to cheat on me, but I was convinced that he was. And I realized that, okay, well, I haven't cheated on him, but have I checked out in some way in the relationship? Have I cheated on him by not being true or by not being completely honest in different ways? So, you know, that's what he was mirroring to me. And that was the fear that I had, you know, and there was a part of me that said, yeah, I could very easily cheat on him. You know, I wasn't going to do that, but I could. And that's what he was showing me. That's the fear that he was reflecting to me. The other thing that I love about mirrors, and this one is always hard for people, and that is that whatever you truly intend in your communication is what people hear. So you might be saying, oh, I love you. But if your intention is, I can't stand you, that's what they hear. That's what they get. I was doing a retreat one time and I was explaining to the retreat, they were kind of new and I was explaining about mirrors. And one of my students just looked at me and she's like, I hate you. Just like, I looked at her and it was like, it was shocking to me that she said it. But what the energy was that I got from what she said was, oh, God, Royce, I love you. Thank you so much for telling me this stuff about mirrors. And I looked at her and I said, God, you know, I love you, too. And she got it. It was like this energetic exchange we had where she knew that she didn't hate me, that she really loved me. And that's the energy that I got from her words. So the true intention behind our words is what people get from what we say all the time. So those are my examples. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Cause I always see the what's behind what they're saying, you know? Yeah. That's really good for people to realize and to see that it doesn't matter what's coming out of their mouth, what's their intentions behind what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it could be something positive like love instead of, you know, what she said, which is a really nice reverse to, you know, these comments on, on this.
Yeah. And at least she was open enough for me to say, you know, I know you really don't hate me. So, yeah, you can't say that to everybody, but I could definitely say it to her. Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really nice. We're going to end on this. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's just one more little thing about mirrors. And that is that, you know, and I've experienced this recently, that if you make a choice to do something and it's not really what you're supposed to do, the universe reflects all kind of stoppages and preventions and nothing works, you know, and it could be mirroring the fact that part of you knows you're not supposed to do this, you know? So.
Well, that reminds me of a motorcycle accident I was in at 18. I clearly heard in my head, do not get on the bike, do not get on the bike. And I heard it over and over and over again. And I told my boyfriend at the time, let's take the truck. I don't want to get on the bike. And we argued and argued and argued and argued and argued about it. And so I got on the bike, but with a helmet on. And at those years, you didn't have to wear helmets, but I wore a helmet. And if I didn't wear a helmet, I'm sure I would have been dead, because this scar right here on my lip is from that. You know, I had multiple concussions. I broke the helmet. And that's how I started to learn to listen, was from not listening and getting in major trouble from not listening.
Mm-hmm. That's what it takes sometimes. Yes. I can't even tell you how many times I didn't listen. And then it's like, oh, I should have listened. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten better at it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not perfect yet, but with that, when you're talking about the universe and listening to the universe, what does that sound like to you? I mean, is it really quiet? Is it just, what is that?
It is really quiet sometimes. Sometimes it's loud and in my face. But the example was recently, I was invited to do a seminar, and every part of me was saying, no, 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 no. And it got louder and louder, and I wasn't listening, and I was asking everybody's opinion about it, and everybody said, yeah, you should do it. But I had to order this equipment to do it, and it was the weirdest thing, because I pressed the send to order this equipment and it never went through. And I called the company and it's like, we never got your order. And I tried repeatedly to send this order out, wouldn't go through. And finally I said, you know what? This is a sign that I need to listen and not do this seminar, you know? And I backed out and dropped out, and which is something I never do. And, you know, I've got a lot of integrity about my commitments, but it was like, no, my higher self and the universe was saying no. And when I finally listened, that's when everything started to work. And that's actually when you contacted me. It's like, oh, okay, there we go. Not supposed to do that other thing. It's supposed to do this thing with Tamara. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Oh, that's wow. What a gift. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad we're talking. I know we haven't talked in years, and it's really nice to reconnect with you. And I'm going to set up a session with you, because I really feel like I'm supposed to really help a lot of people and to stop hiding. And I think I stop hiding, but then I do other things where I see I'm not finished with it yet. So, I need to look at that. Cool. So I'll contact you after the show to set up a session with you.
I will hold you to it, girl.
Okay. You know, you guys, Royce is absolutely amazing. She's going to help you through it. She's got amazing love and commitment to what she does. I've met a lot of people that she's helped, you know, including my ex-husband. What she did with my ex-husband just really blew me away. And it really helped us on our communication, because when we first got a divorce, it was horrible. And I saw some major shifts with him, with his communication with me and with the kids. And it was God sent. It was Royce sent. So thank you so much for Royce for being here. And what is the name of your website so people can come over and connect with you?
It's RoyceMorales.com, or it's also under perfectlifeawakening.com. Either one will get you there.
Perfect. So thank you so much for joining me, and I really appreciate it. And you guys, I'm going to run some activations right now, and I haven't written down. I usually write down what we're going to do. So I'm just going to connect and see what comes through here. Okay, I'm getting anger and resentment at yourself. Healthy boundaries. So any way you have anger and resentment towards yourself, just focus on that now. And healthy boundaries means having healthy boundaries for yourself and having healthy boundaries with other people. And so you just focus on that, and we're going to be changing those subconscious belief systems. And I'm also hearing self-empowerment. So how are you self-sabotaging yourself and your abilities? So think about that also. Just connect to source energy here, and we're rewiring your subconscious belief systems. And this will start today and continue working with you for days, weeks, even months after this process. So healthy boundaries. Do you have boundaries with yourself and with others? And self-sabotage. How do you self-sabotage your life? I want you to imagine that you can connect into Mother Earth. Taking a nice big deep breath. And allow that peace, love, joy, and happiness to permeate every single cell of your body. Feeling that love coming in through every single cell of your body. knowing you have strong boundaries with yourself. You can really love yourself. You guys, you know, open your eyes when you're ready. We're here on planet Earth to learn, to grow, and to share, and to love, and to be able to really love each other and to be there for each other with having healthy boundaries, with being able to say no, with being able to put yourself first so that you can be there for others. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't be there for other people. And it's important to process. It's important to do inner work so that you can show up, so that you can be loved, so that you can be of help, and but also to enjoy your life. And your job isn't to go save the world. Your job is to really be able to truly love yourself and to be there for yourself. And as you saw during the call today with what I shared with Royce, you know, I still have some, well, of course, we all have things we have to work on, but I still need some work on really showing up and really to be able to be seen and allowing myself to take those larger stages of helping you help you become a better you. So I'm working on that. I'm looking forward to showing up in a bigger way and being able to help you be empowered yourself so that you can really truly live the life you desire. Because as this show's called is living in 5D, and we're there. And like Roy said earlier in the call, things are happening so much faster than they ever have before. And they're showing up and they're in your face because we got to get it. It's time. And so show up. Be present, take care of yourself, go have a cup of tea, go get a massage, go for a walk, do something to support you and to be a healthier you and a happier you. And I want to thank you guys so much for joining me today. I look forward to you joining me next week. It's going to be just me, I think, next week. And we're going to get really deep into how we survive and live on planet Earth at this time and thrive. So thank you so much. Have an absolutely beautiful week, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
start.